Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday, happy 2021, and happy almost return of the NHL season. You are listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Affampato. I am your host today. I am also found on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, where I chronicle the miseries of being a team in the basement of the league. But, you know, that's a story for another day and another time. Today, though, we're talking about much better things in the NHL. Today's show, by the way, is brought to you by Built Bar. You can go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. So as you have noticed for the past several months, this show has been operating on a reduced schedule because we haven't exactly had a whole lot of pressing news going on in the league, but we are back just like the NHL is back, and we are back to daily shows here on the network, the same great fun schedule that you guys are used to. The Monday show highlighting great stories across the league. We've got some divisional roundups. We've got breaking news and thoughts and feelings from many of our great hosts. And so we're back here on Monday, where I will every week take you through some of the top stories in the league by talking to our local experts across the network. That is all of our Locked On NHL team show hosts. I am glad to get to chat to all of them again as we go through this very interesting NHL season. So today's show, I've got a look at one team that is in trouble, one team that made a pretty sad decision, and then one team with an up-and-coming prospect who jumped on a Locked On show. First up, I've got Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks to give us the lowdown on the Jonathan Toews illness that is keeping him out from the beginning of the season and the somewhat dire situation they find themselves in, having basically no center depth to speak of. Ian McLaren from Locked On Bruins joins us next to share his reactions to the news that Zdeno Chara is not going to be back as a Boston Bruin. He is moving on to the Washington Capitals, so we get a picture of what's happening in Boston and how people are feeling about that. And then closing out the show, the lovely gentleman behind Locked On Blues talked with Blues prospect Robert Thomas recently on their show, got a little exclusive interview with him, and we're going to share part of that interview with you guys today here on this show. So let's get right down to it and head to Chicago and Jack Bushman with all the news on the Chicago Blackhawks. Figured we'd start the week off doing a little bit of a deeper dive into some issues that are facing some of our teams here in the league. And so one team in particular has just sort of had issue after issue after issue pile up. And so today I've got Jack Bushman, host of Locked On Blackhawks, to look at the somewhat terrifying state of the Chicago Blackhawks. They already had kind of an uphill battle to climb this season between just sort of the rebuild, between the, you know, question mark in net. And now that's been made even more difficult by Jonathan Toews announcing that he is going to be unable to play at least for the foreseeable future because of an illness. What can you tell us about what is going on with him? And I know this was a big surprise to everybody. So what's sort of the reaction around the world of the Blackhawks to this announcement from Toews?
Well, first, Sarah, thank you for having me on Locked On NHL. I love coming on every time I'm on. And it's a scary situation what's going on with Jonathan Toews right now. Forget about hockey, but just as a human being, it sounds like I obviously don't know every single behind the scenes detail. I really know what he shared publicly only, but from his words and how the Blackhawks have put it, it seems like maybe they don't even know what's going on with Toews right now. And that's the scariest part. So he's going to be out indefinitely and we don't know when he's coming back. He might not know when he's coming back. And I'm sure it's just a terrifying, just what he's going through right now has to be horrible and so scary because, you know, he's been so used to feeling a certain way and knowing his body is able to do certain things on the ice and he's able to go through, you know, a certain amount of training and everything. And how he put it, he said he's been feeling lethargic and lacking energy this offseason. And for all us Blackhawks fans who've watched Jonathan Toews the past decade, we know energy is not something he's ever lacking. He's as driven on both sides of the puck as anyone in the National Hockey League. So for him to put it like this in his own words, it's definitely a scary situation right now, Sarah, and no one's really sure if or when he's going to be able to return to the Blackhawks this season.
It was the most startling thing about it, I mean, aside from the fact that no one had any clue that this was going on with him, is that, you know, he's someone who, A, I think anyone who's watched the Blackhawks and knows his history knows that he is, for better or worse, the guy who's going to play through anything. You know, it doesn't matter what's wrong with him, how sick he is or what hurts on him, he's going to play if he thinks that he can, you know, be an asset to the team. And he's one of those guys who across the league, players always cite him. Anyone who's ever played with him or trained with him or whatever is one of those guys who is just at the peak of taking care of his body and just really, you know, giving it his all and doing all the right things you're supposed to do, you know, to be able to perform at your very best. And so it's one of those things where, like, even as like an onlooker who, you know, the most workout I get is walking to my car most days, like, you know, you're like, if this is a guy who is doing everything right, now there's something that is so wrong that he's like, I can't even like play on the fourth line and get 10 minutes a game. Like, I just can't do it. It's really sobering to see this happen to a guy that is just the like vision of health usually.
Right. It's crazy. These things, it really just shows you it can happen to anyone at any time and can really never take your health for granted. And as you said, Jonathan Toews is one of the hardest working guys across the league, always taking care of his body. And for him to come out publicly and say he doesn't feel he can join the team, that really speaks volumes, I think, to how he feels about his body. I mean, obviously it's a scary situation. And I think right now he knows that he's not able to come on the ice and play a factor for the Blackhawks. And as you said, he's a guy that if he can be out there, he's going to be out there. So it really spoke volumes to hear him come out publicly and say that he knows he's not going to be able to join the team like this.
No, I mean, this would be a bad situation for any team and for the Blackhawks in any scenario. But they also have a little problem with the rest of their center depth. If you take Toews out of the equation, then you would be looking at someone like Kirby Dach, who was expected to take a really big step forward this year, and someone like Dylan Strome, who has been, you know, at least steady, you know, maybe not ever living up to that pedigree of where he was picked in the draft, but has been, you know, a good player and has found kind of his groove with the Blackhawks. But instead, we have Kirby Dach, who is injured and probably going to miss most, if not all, of this season. And we have Dylan Strome with no contract. So what does this mean for the Blackhawks, for their lineup? Who are going to be their centers if, especially if Strome continues to be not signed going into this season?
Yeah, the loss of Dach immediately took a big hit to the Blackhawks' chances of their small chances of having success this season. So without Kirby Dach, and as you said, right now Dylan Strome doesn't have a contract. There have been negotiations going on, and all the beat writers around the team say that a deal is expected still to be signed. But it is, of course, concerning that it's taken this long. But even with Strome in the lineup, Sarah, we're not very deep at center without Dach and Jonathan Toews. I think the Blackhawks were aware of both Dach and Toews' situation, and they went out and signed Carl Soderberg last weekend. And this came before really the news. We knew Dach was hurt, but we didn't know if he was going to need surgery yet. So we didn't know that he was going to miss most of the season. And we also had no idea about Toews' illness. So I think the Blackhawks were kind of aware that that was happening behind the scenes. They went out and signed Carl Soderberg to give us a little bit more depth down the middle. He's been a decent middle 6-4 throughout his career. He's got at least 35 points in 6 of his 7 full NHL seasons. But besides that, it's pretty thin. We're looking at Lucas Walmark, who we just got from the Carolina Hurricanes in the offseason. We signed him to a contract. He's probably going to be our fourth line center. And we have David Camp still as well. And he's essentially a fourth line center. So the bottom six, it's going to be a struggle. But one thing I am excited about is there is an opportunity for a lot of young players in the system to get an opportunity now with Dach and Toews out. Not only are there two open spots in the lineup now, but also I think the Blackhawks, they're kind of looking around and they know that 2021's a wash. There's no way this team is making the playoffs with Dach expected to miss most of the season. Alex Nylander's as well supposed to miss most of the season. We don't know what's going on with Jonathan Toews. there's a huge question mark in goal. The defense, it might be a little bit better, but not significantly. So I really don't think this Blackhawks team is going to compete for a playoff spot in 2021. But what that will allow us to do is give some of our young prospects who have been hyped up in the pipelines the past couple of years, they're going to get an opportunity to play this season. So even though in terms of wins and losses, the season's probably lost for the Blackhawks, it's still going to be very crucial throughout the rebuilding process, because this time will allow us to see what pieces of the puzzle we already have and what pieces of the puzzle we still need to go out and acquire in the future to have success.
So there is at least a light at the end of the tunnel for all of the suffering, and that light may be named Owen Power. We'll see how the draft goes, but that's something Blackhawks fans can start doing some research right now on him if this continues to be just sort of a train wreck of injuries and unfortunate events in Chicago. You might get a really good prize out of it. So we'll of course keep tabs on this as the situation develops in Chicago. Like I said, we're going to hear more from you this week on our season previews, but for people who want to catch up with the Blackhawks right now, where can they find you and your show out there on the internet?
So you can find the Locked On Blackhawks podcast on Twitter at @LO_Blackhawks. You can find my personal account on Twitter at @JackBushman2. But if you want strictly Blackhawks news, you can check out my Blackhawks account at @TalkinHockey, TalkinHawkey.
Thank you to Jack for jumping on the show to share his news and thoughts on the Chicago Blackhawks. Of course, with every bit of news and information and hot tips we learn about any team, a hockey team, a basketball team, a football team, you may find yourself wishing to jump into the wide world of betting. And there is really only one place that has you covered for all of your needs, one place that we at the Locked On Podcast Network trust, and that is betonline.ag. Whether you're interested in showing off your hockey knowledge or jumping into making NFL predictions or NBA predictions or whatever it is that makes you happy, you can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. So as we're heading in to training camp, as we are learning who's going to be playing where, who's injured, what teams are maybe going to struggle coming out of the gate, you may find yourself wanting to investigate some futures, perhaps wanting to put some money down on who's going to win the Art Ross or who's going to win the Stanley Cup, anything like that. You can do that by going to betonline.ag. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Up next, we've got Ian McLaren of Locked On Bruins to take us through his thoughts on the latest news about Zdeno Chara. But first, 2020 is mercifully over. It is time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and you want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. We are headed to Boston to take a look at one of the biggest surprises or biggest announcements, I guess, that came out in recent days, and that is the fact that the Boston Bruins have now decided to move on from Zdeno Chara. This is one of the biggest kind of unresolved issues that have been happening for going into the season for the Bruins, and we now know that Chara is going to be a Washington Capital instead. So today I've got Ian McLaren, host of Locked On Bruins, here to kind of give us the picture of what is going on and what led to this moment. So welcome back. We'll just get right into it. What led to this decision from the Bruins to move on from their longtime captain? And do you think it was the right decision?
Well, I'll get to the last part after kind of breaking it down. I'm still working through it myself. It was a bit of a shock, to be sure. On last Thursday, when the news broke, Ken Campbell of the Hockey News tweeted out that he was hearing that Chara was going to sign with the Washington Capitals. And sure enough, shortly thereafter, Chara announced on Instagram that he was leaving the Bruins. And then the Capitals announced a one-year contract, just shy of, I think, $800,000 for the season. After the Bruins lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning in the playoffs, back in the fall. Chara had said that he still had an appetite to play. He is 43 years old, but he's in remarkable shape. He is not the same player that he used to be. He doesn't get top pair minutes, power play time, all that kind of stuff, but he does play a very important role in the defensive zone, being able to shut down the opposition, penalty killing, all that stuff. And it seemed as though he and the Bruins were both just kind of waiting to see what the new season would look like, what the travel would be like, and then kind of settle things there. The Bruins do have the cap space to accommodate what Chara eventually signed for. So that's what he said back in September, that he definitely wanted to play and that he wanted to remain a Bruin. Cut to a couple months later, and team president Cam Neely comes out and says that the team is really looking to give some of their young left-hand shot defenseman a look on the blue line this season. And this was already after the departure of Torrey Krug, which was obviously a huge loss earlier in the offseason. But they have players like Matt Grizzlick, who they committed to for four seasons. He's probably going to take the top pair assignment alongside Charlie McAvoy and get a lot of that power play time that Torrey Krug took up. But then they have some other guys that they have invested first-round picks in over the last few years, notably Jacob Zboril, who they signed to a one-way contract, and then another guy, Jurho Vaakanainen. And then they still have some veteran players like John Moore under contract, a second-round pick not too long ago, and Jeremy Lauzon. So these are some guys that they want to see kind of what they have in them. And they were prepared to have Chara back, but more in a limited role. No back-to-backs, for instance. Kind of assuming a seventh defenseman role.
So there was a lot of shock when this became public on Twitter. There were a lot of people being like, wait, what is happening? Is this real? Is this really Ken Campbell making this tweet? and so a lot of people did not expect this. But now that there's been some time to digest all of this news, kind of how are Bruins fans doing? How are they feeling about the fact that this is happening, that Zdeno Chara is going to be a Washington Capital soon?
I mean, yeah, certainly the initial reaction was very emotional. Chara's been the captain for 14 years. He raised the cup in 2011. He, you know, has been to two other Stanley Cup finals in the years since. And yeah, anytime there's kind of a break after that long of a relationship, there's going to be some high emotions going on. And, you know, I personally think that as long as Chara wanted to remain a Bruin, he should have been in the mix. Even if they want to have a bit of a youth movements still need mentors, and he deserved to finish his career as a member of the Bruins. On the other side, though, I kind of see where the Bruins are coming from. He is advanced in age. Maybe he shouldn't be playing back-to-backs in a shortened, condensed season. And his strengths are penalty killing. So I can see kind of where the Bruins wanted to give some of those younger guys a look, keep Chara around, but in a limited role. But at the same time, he has a lot of pride. He still has gas left in the tank, according to what he said the other day, and the Capitals are willing to at least give him a shot at a bigger role than he was going to get in Boston, plus another chance at a Stanley Cup. So, I mean, it is really unfortunate that the Bruins kind of dug in the sand and drew this hard line. I really believe that he should have been brought back and should have finished his career in Boston. But again, you know, I can kind of see both sides at the end of the day, to be honest.
So this, of course, leaves a pretty big void in, that's not a height joke, but I guess it could be, in the leadership for the Bruins. Is it a safe assumption to say that Patrice Bergeron is going to be the next captain?
Yes. Chara even admitted that the other day in his Capitals availability. He said it's a very obvious choice who the captain will be, and that will be Patrice Bergeron. He won't be captain as long as Chara was. Obviously, Chara had that C for 14 years. Bergeron's already, you know, pretty advanced in his career, on the downside of his 30s at this point. So he'll probably wear it for a couple of years. And then after that, there'll be a bigger discussion as to the long-term captain. But for now, Patrice Bergeron 100% will be the captain of this team. And the Bruins have had a deep leadership group for quite some time. That includes Bergeron, David Krejci. It had included Chara and Krug. They're obviously no longer there. But Tuukka Rask also has some of that responsibility in the locker room as well. So Bergeron, yeah, very well suited to take up the C, and it'll be cool to see him wearing that this season for sure.
As we wrap up today, real quick, what are you most excited about this season, aside from just actually getting hockey back? What are you most excited about for this season with the Bruins?
Well, I guess the NHL announced the other day that they're going to host a couple outdoor games at Lake Tahoe, one of which will be the Bruins and the Flyers. So that will be very cool to watch for sure. And I am kind of excited to see some of these young guys that they are positioning to give a bigger opportunity to, like a Jacobs Borrell, Matt Grzelcyk, these kind of guys. You know, I've been around following this team long enough to see players come and go, and it is sad to see these guys leave, but it is also exciting to see some of these younger guys step up. A guy like Jack Stanika played in the playoffs last year and really impressed. So I am excited to see what can become of these players, and also, you know, what's left of this core of Bergeron, Marchand, Rask, Krejci, to see if they have one last perhaps kick at the cup, so to speak. So yeah, I'm just thrilled to have hockey back, and most importantly, I hope, you know, they're able to do it safely, and that the ongoing pandemic you know, doesn't change things or hurt things in lasting ways across the league for sure.
For people who want to hear more from you, who want to keep up with what is going on with the Bruins, where can they find you and your show?
Yeah, Locked On Boston Bruins is available wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow the show on Twitter at @LO_BostonBruins and also on Instagram at Locked On Boston Bruins. And there's all the show notes and links to the episodes there as well. So, yeah. Follow that along, and I'm really excited to get training camp going here early this week.
Thanks so much to Ian for walking us through the big news, pun sort of intended, about Zdeno Chara moving on from the Boston Bruins. We've got more coming up next, but first, have you heard the good news about Built Bar? Because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It is a fantastic treat. I have like 6 whole boxes of them sitting like just out of reach as I'm recording this, and I'm probably gonna go have one when I'm done here, because it is a protein bar that does not taste like a protein bar. It tastes like you're eating a wonderful candy bar, and that is partially because it's covered in 100% chocolate. It's delicious. It comes in 18 amazing flavors. There's also occasionally some fun seasonal varieties, so you want to make sure you're always checking out BuiltBar.com to learn what they've got going on. They are low in calorie, high in protein, and just all around delicious. So do yourself a favor, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Of course, if you are listening to this show, then you probably already know, but if not, I'm going to tell you right now, here's what we've got going on for the rest of the week on Locked On NHL. This week, we're getting ready for the start of the regular season by bringing you our now annual Locked On NHL season preview series. I will be helping to MC this great event as we share previews of all 31 teams, division by division, and we give you a little information on who to pick up and drop in your fantasy leagues, courtesy of Locked On Fantasy Hockey host Scott Cullen. Subscribe to this show, Locked On NHL, wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure you don't miss a single episode. Now let's turn it over to Josh and Thomas from Locked On Blues as they talk to Blues prospect Robert Thomas all about the upcoming season, his career, and more.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Locked On Blues podcast, part of the Locked On Live Network and your number one source for daily Blues content. I'm Thomas Welch.
I'm Josh Hyman.
And we are joined today by number 18 for the St. Louis Blues and Stanley Cup champion, Mr. Smooth, Robert Thomas. Thank you very much for joining us today, Bob. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
How was your holiday? Before we get into the nitty gritty interview, it's, you know, relaxing week. You had a good time?
Yeah, holidays were good. You know, got to spend a lot of time with the family on the phone. You know, exchange the little gifts and just do like a couple little traditions we do. And then, yeah, spent most of the time with actually some guys on the team. And a lot of the single guys or younger guys, you know, we all came together and just kind of had some turkey and hung out.
There you go. Yeah, that's dope. I was actually going to ask you about family traditions because my family always does. So instead of like writing each other's like actual names on their like tags for presents, we always write like nicknames or like the family nerd because my brother's really smart and like all of that stuff. So you have to kind of like guess like who it's for while also like guessing what the present is. So I was wondering like what kind of traditions do you have with your family that kind of like fall in line with that?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have anything like that. We're not that that funny, but we got like you know, those like bingo scratch cards.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, usually at dinner our whole family always does one, and you know, we see who the big winner is. Usually it's only someone gets $5 or something, but yeah. You know, that's kind of one good tradition for us. Other than that, yeah, we're not too exciting. So you know, my dad's usually making pizza on Christmas Eve and stuff. Ooh. So those are
go to. That's fire. Mm-hmm. We had steak this year because my dad has high sodium. Because we normally have ham, but they was like, yeah, the salt's too high. So we had steak, and I was like, you know what? I'm okay with that trade off, honestly.
Yeah, it's not too shabby.
Yeah. We always got Chinese food because my dad's side of the family is Jewish. So it's the Jewish tradition is because Chinese restaurants are the only places open on Christmas every year. It's a good time.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. I love Chinese food. It's great.
Yeah, Chinese food's great.
What was your favorite gift you got this year? Anything on the top of your list that you opened up and you were like, hell yeah. PS5, Xbox? Probably already.
No. Those are impossible to get.
Right?
It's brutal.
Josh has been talking about that nonstop, dude.
No, my brother actually got my favorite one. We got matching gold chains, so it's pretty
You got that ice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty
you know
cool
that flop out of
him,
the jersey
so.
This year?
Yeah, no. Someone will snatch it right off. But
That's but, disrespectful.
Yeah, but no, it was a cool gift for him to give. You know, something that means a lot to me.
All right. So one thing I think everyone kind of like can agree about this season is gonna be really strange, just given everything that's been going on with the pandemic and everything. But another reason it's going to be really strange is Alex Pietrangelo is not going to be on the team. And for Blues fans like myself, like he's just been on the team for so long. He's become kind of like an identity for the team. So what's it going to be like for you personally playing on the team this season with that kind of not really looming over your head, but knowing that he's not there and having to build your own identity this season?
Yeah. I mean, he was such a good captain for such a long time. You know, he's there the whole time I've been with the Blues. So, yeah, it's definitely different. You know, unfortunately, that's just the way hockey is that, you know, players come and go and, you know, it sucks. You know, you come such good friends and teammates with a lot of guys and then, you know, next year they're not on your team. So, you know, that whole part sucks. But at the same time, it is the way hockey is. So, you know, we got a great leader now with Ryan. He's a great teammate, great friend to a lot of people. And, you know, he's going to be a great leader for us. So. At the same time, you gotta look forward and focus on the positives and, you know, he's going to be a great captain for us and create a whole new identity for us.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing is we talked about this on the last pod with, Scotty Perunovic, but since the new season, you know, weird format, you're playing teams in your division only. So you'll be seeing a lot of Alex Pietrangelo this year. Does that kind of bring you back to like the old days of town hockey where you just played the same guys 15 times a year and by the end of it, you hated their guts?
Yeah, it definitely does. It'll be weird. You know, we got some really good teams in our division. Obviously, now we got to play against Petro a ton. I don't know how that's gonna go. It might be funny the first game and then a pain in the ass the rest of the time.
Yeah,
so,
I feel.
But yeah,
it'll play into. I feel like it'll play into your guys' favor because the whole thing about the cup run was, you know, no team could take you guys for 7 games. So I feel like by the end of it, those teams, oh god, these guys again.
yeah, that's that,
they're sore from the last one already.
I didn't think of it that way. That's pretty good. I agree with you on that one. Hopefully, it's like a playoff series throughout the year, and everything just keeps building. So that'll be cool.
And then you have a playoff series with those guys afterwards.
So kind of rolling off of that, you've been in the league for a little bit now. So who is the one player that you love going up against, whether it's like, you know, you can like dangle them or like they can't hang with you or whatever. And who is the one player that every time you see it on the schedule, you're like, God damn it, not this dude again.
I'd probably say I don't really have someone that I love going up against. I wish I could give you some, you know, good answer, but yeah, it's pretty tough every night. Guy to go against. You know, we don't play him too often, but I think he's a really good defender. Is that Slavin on Carolina? He's got such a good stick, and he's always in the right spot, and it's hard to really get around him. So, you know, thankfully we don't have to go against him for a while this year, even though it's only usually once or twice a season. But I think he's a hell of a defender.
Thorn in your side for sure.
Yeah, I can't give Petro too much credit. Him,
yeah, so. Exactly. Can't pump his tires too much.
Yeah, no, I can't do that one.
What about like Matthew or Brady? That's gotta be
Kachucks.
Fun.
I mean,
the Kachucks.
Like enough, Matthew's just a pain in the ass out there. So I don't really get lined up too much against him. I've only played Brady once, so
that's fair.
Same kind of thing. Maybe ask me that after in a year,
a couple
or
more games.
I'm under the bus. Yeah.
Speaking of sort of like the playing guys a lot of times, getting each other's skins, you don't have to name names, but like if have you any particularly good chirps, like something that kind of stuck with you afterwards, you're like, wow, how did they come up with that?
I mean, for the most part, even when you're kind of chirping on the ice, you don't really even think about what they're saying, so I don't really remember too much. I'm trying to think. I think the kind of chirps that stick with you are ones your friends say on the ice, because you know they're throwing low blows at you, and even when you're playing against I'll be playing against Calgary or whatever, and Matthew will tell one of his buddies to throw a low blow at me, kind of something like that, and you know, I couldn't tell you what he's saying, but those kind of the ones that stick with you.
That is it for today. Thanks to all of you for listening. Make sure that you tune in all week long. Subscribe if you haven't already, as we are doing previews of all 31 NHL teams. Plus, as we talked about, some thoughts from Locked On Fantasy Hockey that is coming up all this week here on Locked On NHL. Make sure you're following all of our great hosts and their shows across the network. Follow this show on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. I'm around at Right Said Sarah if you want to hear, you know, pain about the Los Angeles Kings. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave a rating or a review, or really both if you like what you're hearing, and tell your friends all about it. We are back. We are daily. We are ready to go for the 2020-2021 NHL season. So thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the kickoff of our NHL season preview series. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.